ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂಗಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ದಿನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವದೇವ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಯಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಸೊ ಎರ್ಲಿಯರ್ ವಿ ಸೋ ಟೂ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ಧ್ಯಾಯದೋ ವಿಷಯ ಪುಂಸಾನ್ ಸಂಗಸ್ಥೇಶು ಉಪಜಾಯದೆ ಸಂಗಾಲ್ ಸಂಜಾಯದೆ ಕಾಮಾನ್ ಕಾಮಾಲ್ ಕ್ರೋಧೋಭಿಜಾಯದೆ ಕ್ರೋಧಾಲ್ ಭವತಿ ಸಮೋಹ ಸಮೋಹಾಲ್ ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ವಿಭ್ರಮ ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಭ್ರಂಶಾಲ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿನಾಶೋ ಬುದ್ಧಿನಾಶಾಲ್ ಪ್ರಣಶ್ಯದಿ ಟೂ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ವಿ ಸೋ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ನೌ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಲುಕ್ ಅಟ್ ದೋಸ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ದಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ದೇ ದಟ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಅಲೌ ದಿ sense objects to come into the mind, inside the mind. That he didn't say that whatever that comes in our life according to prarabdham, not to experience that. Because what Krishna is saying there is, don't allow sense objects to get into the mind. But whatever that comes in the normal way in prarabdham, because prarabdham means that when we have this material body, certain amount of sense gratification will happen. It's unavoidable. And that is prarabdham. Because this body, when we get it, according to vasanas and according to our karma, some kind of sense enjoyment will happen. Krishna is not saying stop that. What Krishna is saying, don't allow new things, sense objects to come in and cultivate them inside. This is the point. So, without experiencing sense enjoyment, nobody can live in this world. This also we have to notice that. Then, as I mentioned before, even breathing is a sense enjoyment in that sense, because sense is functioning at that time, isn't it? Similarly, any sense activity with the senses is sense enjoyment. But it is not similarly seeing something with the eyes. We will see so many things in this world. That is also sense enjoyment, but it is not possible to keep it away. That comes as prarabdham. And as soon as you start enjoying the senses, desire for enjoyment will also increase. Desire for enjoyment will also increase. And this sense enjoyment is like pouring ghee into the fire. As soon as you pour into it, it starts blowing further. So, as long as you are fulfilling your desires, the desires will keep increasing. So, both are dangerous, isn't it? So, you can see the difficulty that when you enjoy senses, the senses will demand more and more. And then you have to keep pouring into it and it gets increasing. So, it's a constantly a problem. So, sense enjoyment is a problem. Krishna is saying here that as soon as you keep filling there, it will increase it. If you enjoy senses, that is trouble. And if you don't enjoy it, suppress them, that's also trouble. Isn't it? So this question comes everyone's mind automatically. That if you enjoy the senses, it is a trouble. And if you don't enjoy senses, that's also a problem. Sometimes you say to people that don't enjoy the senses, and with a lot of effort you control your mind to free from sense gratification. And then also it causes problems inside. So, therefore, Krishna has given the solution in this verse. Which verse? Ragadvesha viyuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. 64, verse number. Atma vashir vidheyalma prasadam adigachadi. If you understand that verse properly, Krishna is giving us the solution to this problem. That when you, on the one hand, you have a problem that you enjoy senses, it keeps increasing. The desire keeps increasing. If you don't enjoy senses, try to suppress the senses, that is also a problem. If you try to suppress the senses, not allowing to... That is not the process what Krishna is talking about. Don't allow to suppress the senses, nor try to enjoy the senses. Both are equally troublesome. Therefore, this solution in this verse. We'll come what Krishna is saying there in the solution, talk about that. But see the problem there in the senses. If you allow the senses to enjoy, because without sense enjoyment nobody can live in this world. All the time we are enjoying senses in some form or the other. So, if you allow the senses to enjoy, the desire will increase for sense enjoyment. If you suppress the senses, it will cause friction inside, conflicts inside, and it will disturbances will happen inside. When you don't allow, because senses are a problem for the material body. Senses cause this difficulty. So Krishna is saying that either way it is trouble. Therefore the solution is this verse. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran alma vishayar vidhaya alma prasadam adigacchati. So particularly for householders, that for us the way to sthita prajnyatvam is this verse, for grahasthas particularly, for householders who wants to become sthita prajna, this verse is recommended. That for those who are dealing with this world or engage in vyavaharam with this world, there is no other better method than this, what Krishna has suggested in this verse. So if you understand this verse properly and practice it in this life, then automatically the mind will become peaceful. Anything that becomes peaceful in one stretch straight away, you should not trust that. Because that will come and that will go. Any peace what you experience in say for example, in a kirtan or in a class or in a lecture, or even after chanting japam. Suppose suddenly you feel some very peaceful inside. And then when you leave, finish that, it will disappear after a while. So sometimes people, they participate in some japa retreat or whatever, in a kirtanam for a few hours or in a lecture for a few hours. And then they come out and they'll talk like Sudeva Goswami, that they have reached that perfectional stage. But you cannot trust them, because the way it has come, it will go also in the same way. So even in the salsangam, whatever you have got it from salsangam, if you have not performed mananam from that and taken it as your, made it as your own realization, so it will not happen. So while you are hearing it, you will find happiness. But after some time, it will go. Therefore, there is no use from that. So continuously, the understanding of Krishna consciousness, what we hear from Salsangam, it should become a part of our thought process. And during that thought process, the truth will come up properly. The reality will come to us and we will get that realizations. So, similarly, in this verse also, if you understand the very principle of this verse, Ragadvesha Muktaistu Vishayanindriyaischaran, if you understand the principle of that, in course of time, and you keep on applying this verse into your own life, Krishna is saying there, Atma Vashir Vidhayatma Prasadam Adigachadi. Prasadam will come. Prasadam here means, what actually it means is that peace of mind. That's prasadam here. Prasadam is the peace of mind. That is prasadam Krishna is talking about. Prasadam Adigachadi. So, in the past, when you go to the temples, prasadam will be there. And if there is no prasadam, people won't go to the temple. That was the system. So, here what is the prasadam? Prasadam is this, that once you see Krishna, you should get prasadam. Once you go and see Krishna, you should get prasadam. So here, the prasadam Krishna is referring to this chitta prasadam, prasadam inside, the peace inside. That is a yogasthiti, the state of yoga. So Krishna says later on, samatvam yoga muchyade. Samatvam means the equality of the mind, or the peacefulness what you experience. That peacefulness is, or samatvam, equality, is the yogasthiti, what Krishna is saying here. Just like after rains, the clouds goes away and the sky becomes clear, in the same way, Krishna says that prasadasthiti, the state of prasadam, Krishna refers to, will come to us in a natural way, when this verse is practiced properly. We'll come to that detail. So, Krishna says here, sometimes you see some people put the snake in their neck and walk around. What do? They take out the poisonous teeth from the snake so it cannot bite anymore. So you can put the snake around your neck. So this ragam and dvesham are the two poisonous teeth. So Krishna's point is, if you take away these two poisonous teeth from your life, then you can do any amount of karma. It will not cause any problems. This is the secret of this verse. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu. That when you are free from ragam and dvesham, vishayan indriyaischaran, even if your senses goes to sense objects, atma vashir vidhay atma, that he is still very much fixed on the soul. Why? Because ragam and dvesham is not there. Only so long as raga dvesham is there, karmam causes problems. Attachment to sense enjoyment causes problems. If there is ragam and dvesham, isn't it? Whenever there is ragam and dvesham, it causes problems. Because ragam means attachment and dvesham means aversion. So attachment and aversion are the two things, Krishna says, are the two poisonous teeth while engaging in sense gratification. If these two teeth, if you pull out from this snake, then even if you are engaged in sense gratification, it won't harm. And this is what happens. Remember, I was mentioning this. Sometimes, some of the realized souls, they may fall into some sense enjoyment sometimes. It will appear to us, oh, he is engaged in sense gratification, but there is no ragadvesham inside. Without ragadvesham, they are gone into that. So therefore, they don't get affected by the sense enjoyment. It's something to think about. Ragadvesha, Krishna is saying, ragadvesha vimuktaistu. First, if you are free from these two things, ragam and dvesham, vishayan indriyaischaran, let the senses goes to sense enjoyment, then alpa vashir vidhay alpa, because he is surrendered, because his realization of the soul is better, alpa vashir vidhay alpa, prasadam adhigacchadi, he will reach that state of peacefulness. So, if you pull out these two teeth, which is ragam and dvesham, even if the mind thinks about that about the sense gratification, and it brings thoughts about it inside, whatever thoughts come, still inside there is peace inside the person. The person has peace inside. Even if the thoughts come, it won't disturb him. So, otherwise, it is not possible to keep the mind completely in a stable situation. Because first thing is, we are not the mind. We are not the mind. If the mind is thinking about something, the mind is not thinking about something, it doesn't matter if you are separated from the mind. So, there's only a small situation, Krishna is saying here, one has to be alert not to allow this to get into the intelligence. This attachment and aversion, Krishna says there, that the if you have taken it out, and even if you run after sense gratification, vishayan indriyaischaran, whatever according to the prarabdham that is coming in, and it will be accepted as sodharmam, one's own dharmam, it will be accepted like that. I'll explain that. When we engage in sense gratification, even because we are not meditating on that, there's different stages in this. Sometimes we pre-meditating on sense gratification and get absorbed in sense gratification. That's one situation. Another situation, you are living peacefully, but some sense gratification is coming according to prarabdham. That will also happen. So various levels, these things happen. Krishna's point is, if you are not allowing the mind to get absorbed in sense gratification, then that means ragadvesham won't happen there. Ragadvesham won't happen. But whatever that is coming according to prarabdham, if the mind is still in the same state, that it is not getting pulled into ragadvesham of that particular sense enjoyment, then also you won't be affected by that. So, when such things happens, that means, when in our normal life, say we are safeguarding as best as possible not to fall into sense gratification, and living a life with proper nishtha. Remember what our nishtha means? All the sadhana and other things is only one goal only, to discipline the life. Sadhana is not what takes us back to spirit in self-realization, or sadhana is not what takes us back to the spiritual world. What sadhana does to us is that you are bringing some discipline in life to keep us disciplined. Discipline means at least if you perform sadhana, you won't do any nonsense. That's the purpose behind sadhana. And everything, japam, puja, deity worship, and also the meditations, all these kind of things, why do we do that? We have been given a prescribed duty as a prescribed process. So if you do all that, what will happen is you won't be distracted to other things in life. And everyone has to follow the sadhana process, because if you don't do sadhana, what will happen? Our mind will go after sense enjoyment. Then we'll think that, oh, so sometimes people understand all these things. They don't perform any sadhana. What they do, they'll put on the telly in the morning and start watching the telly. And they'll say that, well, I understood the philosophy now. I can watch the telly. No. Why? Because the mind will, Krishna said before, if you go after senses, you will be victimized by the sense enjoyment. So therefore, the sages who knew this problem with the mind, they have given this process that you restrict your senses from enjoying. Given this rules and regulations, that you follow a certain disciplined pattern of life, which is sadhana, sadhana process. Anushtanam, they call it. But simply to depend on sadhana alone, sadhana will guard you against fall down, that you will not get deviated from your spiritual activities. But that alone is not sufficient. Sadhana is only to keep you on track. But while being in the track, in order to make that progress, Shastram has to come. Shastram has a role to play there. Because only from Shastram you get the knowledge what you need for changes inside, what has to happen. So Shastram does that activity, and Krishna says there that Ragadvesha Muktaistu Vishayan Indriyaischaran Atma Vashir Vidhaya Atma Prasadam Adigachadi. For example, those things which come in our normal life as sense gratification, without any hate or attachment or aversion, Krishna says, if you act along with that, if you don't act in that way, it will, prasadam won't come. Prasadam won't happen. So, because everyone has a tendency to work in this world, pravrti, karmam is there in all of us, isn't it? And karma vasana won't go away. Say, for example, when through prarabdham we got this body. And when we have this body, in our life in this world, a certain amount of sense gratification will come. And that sense gratification, Krishna says, don't avoid it. You have to accept it. But it has to be accepted in a particular way, that without any sticking to it and or a hate towards that. And if you do that, Krishna says, it will not cause you any problems. If you don't do like that, on the other hand, whenever little sense gratification comes, immediately if you develop a hate towards that, thinking that, oh, it's going to cause me problems, it will cause problems. In the sense that the allowing not to develop any ragadvesham inside is more important than the sense gratification. When some sense gratification comes in life in a natural course means living in your normal life, certain type of sense gratification will be there. And when that sense gratification, if you don't expect too much from that, that means sticking does not happen, then it's fine. Krishna is saying like that. So, those who have got karma vasana means, you know, our propensity to act in this world, which we all have. Karma vasana is in all of us. So once you have got karma vasana, if you go and put him in a place alone, loneliness, he will create a big material world there. He will create a big material existence. Remember I gave this example before that if you ask someone who has a great desire to build a 5-star hotel, and if you give him sannyas, what will he do? He will make a 5-star ashram. That's what he will do. Because he has vasana is inside them. So it's no point in forcibly putting someone who has got strong karma vasana, you give him sannyas, he will go, and what he will do is he will be still looking for an opportunity to release his karma vasana somewhere. So that's where, similarly, those who are after fame, after wealth, and those people, if they take sannyas, when they come into their field of activity, they will still, that karma vasana will push them in that direction. They won't be able to escape from that. It's impossible. See, sannyasam stage is not an easy thing. We make about sannyasam, sannyasam, dandam, and all fine. But karma vasana has not left you. Then that karma vasana will manifest in some form, even in that field where you are operating. And that karma vasana can, you won't even know about it, that your vasana is pushing him to act in that direction. That is what will happen. So, so he will create that situation there. So, here what we have to remember is, there are two things here. One is known as our Swarupam. Swarupam means our identity, what we are, the soul. And the second thing is our Swabhavam, our nature. Yeah? One is Swarupam and the other one is Swabhavam. Swarupam is same for everybody, which is soul. But Swabhavam is different for everyone, isn't it? So Krishna's point is, stay in the Swarupam and change the Swabhavam. Swarupam you can't change. Swarupam is same for everybody. Swarupam means our spiritual role, spiritual identity, a spirit soul. We are all same, spirit soul as we are all same. But Swabhavam is different for all of us. Krishna's point is, staying in the Swarupam, staying in the Swarupam, we should correct the Swabhavam. Swabhavam we should continuously modify, change, and that is the spiritual life is all about. Staying in the Swarupam, changing the Swabhavam. In other words, Swabhavam is our nature, isn't it? A Prakriti or nature, what we say. That Swabhavam is actually helping us. Swabhavam is, if we properly manage it, then we can stay in the Swarupam. Whereas, if you continuously absorb in the Swabhavam all the time, Swarupam will be forgotten. That's what happens to all of us. So Swarupam is the same, Swabhavam is different. Swabhavam is also called Prakriti. And once you are moving this Swabhavam away from us, that's called a liberation. Liberation is that thing, when we get this Swabhavam changed, that is liberation. And while staying in this Swarupam, while staying in the Swarupam, the Swabhavam has to go. Swabhavam has to go. And if you try to suppress the Swabhavam or try to dismantle it, that cannot be done. Swabhavam cannot be suppressed. Swabhavam is vasana inside, basically. And if you try to suppress that, it will not work. It will not work. So, while staying in Swarupam, while staying in our spiritual nature or spiritual identity, Swabhavam, which means the mind, the vasana and the Prakriti, these are all part of Swabhavam. The mind is there, the vasanas are there, and the material nature is there, Prakriti, all combined together. So, knowing very well Swarupam, and when you bring Swabhavam into our Pravarti, knowing the Swarupam and changing our Swabhavam in our activities, Krishna calls this as Sokarmana Abhyarcha Siddhim Vindani Manava. It's a famous quotation in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look into the 18th chapter, 46 words, you will see there a statement like that from Krishna. Now Krishna is talking about at the last chapter about the perfection of renunciation. Isn't it? Perfection of renunciation. It is there he mentions that Sokarmana Abhyarcha Siddhim Vindadi Manava. 46, 18th.
യഥപ്രവൃത്തിർ ഭൂതാനാം യേന സർവമിദം തതം സ്വകർമ്മണാദ് അഭ്യർച്ച സിദ്ധിം വിന്ദതി മാനവ. സ്വകർമ്മണാം അഭ്യർച്ച സിദ്ധിം വിന്ദതി മാനവ. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഈ കൃഷ്ണ സെയിങ് ദർ ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് ഇൻ യുവർ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ഐഡന്റിറ്റി സ്വകർമ്മണാം അഭ്യർച്ച സിദ്ധിം വിന്ദതി. ദാറ്റ് കർമ്മം ഷുഡ് ബി അഡ്ജസ്റ്റഡ് അക്കോർഡിംഗ്ലി by staying situated in the spiritual identity. In other words, karma is not something you should go and blindly do it without knowing anything about it. One should know one's own svabhavam and one should be situated in one's own spiritual platform, sokaramanam abhyarcha, and if you modify your karma in such a way, siddhim vindadi manava, he will reach perfection. That's the point Krishna is stating there. Prabhupada used to quote that two lines very often. Sokarmanam, you should act in this world, situated on your spiritual plane, but adjust your karma in such a way, it will take you to perfection. Sokarmanam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi. Sokarmanatam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. People will become perfection in their life. And if it is done like that, every action will become a worship of Krishna, pleasing Krishna. And his svabhavam will become a puja, will become a worship. Whatever svabhavam he has, that whoever it may be, you have to work and change that svabhavam. And once you start working, often what will happen, that you will, any work you do, you will get, start sticking to it. You will get sticking to it. That sticking is caused, how does the sticking happen? Through ragam and dvesham. Isn't it? Ragadvesham is the way how we stick to something. Ragadvesham will happen like that. So that is why Krishna says, remove ragadvesham first and then you start working and it will be okay. Once you remove ragadvesham and start working, it will be okay. Then that is if one is able to see whole jagat means all creation, in that way, as Krishna's manifestation, then ragadvesham won't happen to a person. Ragadvesham won't happen. So, how do you know that somebody is acting without ragadvesham in this world? That's another interesting thing, isn't it? The what point Krishna is saying here is that the symptom of no ragadvesham in a person is like this. That when he gets something in this world, he will enjoy it and leave it there at that point. He won't meditate on that for the future. Suppose we got a nice feast, Anil has given a good feast today. Tomorrow we expect another feast again, then that is ragam. But if he enjoyed the feast and left it there itself, then it's finished. No ragam. So similarly, ragadvesham is like that. So anything happens, if it is accepted and left it straight away, without thinking about another possibility of enjoying it further. That means sticking has started. Say, I enjoyed something now, and I would like to have it again tomorrow or day after, and I keep on desiring like that in my mind, meditating in that way, that is ragam. Somebody has done something to me, and I felt uneasy about it, and then I want to retaliate for that, or revengeful for that, and develops in my mind, that's dvesham. So these are the two things, ragam and dvesham. That means it grows inside. It grows inside. It doesn't leave you. So Krishna's point is, ragadvesham, one who has left in this world, he would not be affected by that anymore. That means he will accept it as soon as some sanskar, he will accept it and he will leave it at that. He won't desire it again later on. The example given is in Ramayanam, when all the Ayodhya Vasis, the people who live in Ayodhya, they went with, all went together with Bharata to see Ramachandra. So when Bharata and others reached there, Bharadvaja Maharshi received them in the ashram and looked after them very well. Bharadvaja Maharshi, out of his yogi power, invited the personalities from the heavenly planets to come and to cook a big feast and all facilities to sleep for them. So when they had received all these things and the feast was served, all the person or the people who came from Ayodhya, they enjoyed the feast and they said it was very nice. Immediately the next thing what they were saying was, why should we go back to Ayodhya? Why don't we live here? for all time, because it was life was so good. But before they could say anything, they all disappeared. Everything disappeared from Ayodhya, from the forest. Bharadwaja Maharshi's mystic power, that was, he was able to perform that. So that you can see how we get attracted to some sense enjoyment, immediately we start thinking, oh, this is not a bad thing. Why not I have it again? So this is ragam. And similarly, when something unpleasant happens in life, immediately we take it and we find that it has to be sorted. It has to be sorted. That is dvesham. So without ragadvesham, any sense enjoyment performed in this world will not cause any problems. That is the point Krishna is making there. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyais charan. Krishna says, indriyams can go towards vishayam, sense enjoyment, without ragadvesham. Then atmavashir vidhey atma prasadam abhigachadi. In that says, he is situated on the platform of the soul. This is the proof for that. If we, after sense gratification, if any desire is coming up inside to repeat that sense enjoyment again, that means we have ragam. If after experiencing some unpleasant situation in this world, if that is brewing inside to come back again and react based on that, that means dvesham existing. Krishna's point is, one who is in a sthitapratya state, ragam and dvesham will not happen. But in the natural way, whatever sense enjoyment comes in life, he will take it and he will leave it in that. Why? There is no sticking there. That is the proof of that. And that person, Krishna says, prasadam abhigacchadi. He will have prasadam. His chittam inside will be shanti, in peace. Is that clear? See the difference what Krishna is saying? It is, everything is difficult if we don't... What Krishna is saying, that, you know, these are subtle things, and the subtlety will become easier when you think about these things. If you are constantly monitoring these things inside, suppose if you don't know about it, what will happen? Krishna is saying, this sticking point is, we have discussed before also, sticking is the problem with any karma, that you get stuck with it. In the sense, sticking nature, to stick to something, is very strong in everyone. And the moment you keep on sticking to something, then it will develop into ragadvesham. Krishna's point is that ragadvesham is not there in a person, or is not sticking to. That means he is happy, whatever comes he accepts it, and whatever doesn't come he is not bothered about it. This mood, this is the important thing. That he is not particular that I should have this. If he is not particular that something happens, he is not disturbed over it particularly. So ragadvesham is the problem, Krishna's point. That's what he's saying here. That the this has to be taken into account, Krishna says, while executing karmam in this world. So the only way it can be done, also Krishna mentions there, that don't desire when you have some sense enjoyment comes in life. Accept it on that particular moment, and as soon as it's over, just have to leave it at that point. Otherwise, we'll be in deep distress. then, this sukham and dukham, because, you see, why do we... Remember, we mentioned this before. Sukham, dukham. Two things, isn't it? We have inside a decision, everyone makes this, that I want sukham in life. I don't want dukham. Isn't it? I want happiness. I don't want distress. This is very, in a subtle level, we have made that decision. That's why while working in this world, when happiness comes, we have wholeheartedly accept it. When distress comes, we immediately respond to it in a negative way. So Krishna has mentioned this before, that sukham and dukham, if you don't develop this attitude towards sukham and dukham, then you can free yourself from that problem. Krishna has mentioned that before. That sukha dukkha samayikrutva labha labhav jaya jayav. What Krishna's point is that samatvam, equality, while sukham happening or dukkham happening, in both situations, if it is adjusted in that way, then it will not disturb you. It will not disturb. That's the solution Krishna has given us before. Remember that. that when happiness comes and distress comes, if you are not feeling that I want happiness, or when distress comes, I don't want distress. If you don't have that mood inside, then you will not be disturbed over this. Krishna has spoken that before. So here, Krishna is saying that both sukha-dukkham, when it comes, if it is Krishna's prasadam, that's the prasadam Krishna gives to us, that when sukham and dukkham happening, in both cases, if you can think as it is prasadam from Krishna, that life will not be unpleasant. Life will become more peaceful. Even distress will give happiness at that point, because you have inside understood that sukham and dukkham are products of maya. It's through the mind and the maya that creates that mood in us, that is sukham dukkham. Otherwise, there is nothing sukham, there is no dukkham either in this world. Who tells to us that something is sukham and something is dukkham? The mind is telling us. So we are trying to free ourselves from the mind, isn't it? We are trying to free ourselves from the mind. So once you closely observe the activities of the mind, you can see that mind puts us into this awkward situation by injecting into us this thought of sukham and dukkham. Sukham and dukkham is nothing but a product of the mind. And liberation means freedom from the body and the mind, isn't it? So if you keep these points, what Krishna is saying here, that the even sometimes distress can bring you happiness. Why? Kunti Devi prayed to Krishna to bring distress, isn't it? To give distress to her. Because Kunti Devi understood the secret behind it. That when the distress was happening, Kunti Devi realized that she is going back to the soul, to the truth. Freedom from the illusion, from Maya's role. So it is at that time she started saying that the mind was peaceful, even though the distress was coming to her. Even though the distress was coming to her. So there is deep ecstasy in pain. Sometimes some sages have spoken like that. There is deep ecstasy in the pain also. Why is that? For one who has not know the tattvam, the truth behind it, once who knows the truth, even the pain will become a happiness. So one who does not stick to anything, for him, because there is no ragam or dvesham inside, Atma Vashye Vitheya Atma Prasadam Adigachari. That is Krishna's answer for that. One who has no sticking to anything or raga dvesham inside, that mind will go through the senses. But mind will go through the senses, but inside there will be prasadam inside. Prasadam will be there. What is that prasadam? That is what Krishna is talking about in the next verse. What that prasadam is. Prasade sarva dukkhanam. Prasade sarva dukkhanam.
Prasade sarva dukkhanam.
Hanirasyopajayate.
Hanirasyopajayate.
Prasanna chedaso hyashu.
Prasanna chedaso hyashu.
Buddhi paryavatishtate. Prasade sarva dukkhanam. Krishna says, prasade sarva dukkhanam. Hani rasyopajayate. Prasade sarva dukkhanam. Hani rasyopajayate. Prasanno chedaso hyashu. Buddhi paryavatishtate. Translation. For one who is situated in the divine consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer. In such a happy state, one's intelligence soon becomes steady. In the last verse, Krishna told us to remove ragadvesham, isn't it? Ragadvesham muktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atmavashyer vidheyalma prasadam adigachadi. Atmavashyer vidheyalma prasadam adigachadi. So one who has removed ragam and dvesham in his dealings with this world, Krishna says he will reach that prasadam state. Prasadam state. And what that prasadam is saying here, prasade sarva dukkhanam hanirasyoba jayate, that for him there is no distress anymore. Why? Prasanna chedaso hyashu. Because he is peaceful within himself. Prasanna chedasa. Prasanna chedasa means complete shanti inside. Buddhi paryavatishtade. One's intelligence becomes very steady at that point. Now, when when we talk about that verse, that Krishna says that once inside is become pleasant, the chittam has become pleasant or praise inside, you don't experience any distress afterwards, because all distress comes from the mind. All the distress is coming from the mind. That the condensed form of the mind is the false ego. Condensed form of the mind is false ego. So, once that ahangaram or false ego, and if ragadvesham has gone, there will be a illumination inside. Once the false ego has gone from inside. So, remember, all the jiva state is this false ego. Jiva is always in the state of false ego. And while this false ego is in operation, which means that the mind is also in operation. Mind is also in operation. So at that point, that it mentions that Rahu Mukta Iva Divakaraha, that when the sun is controlled by Rahu during the eclipse time, how the sun gets affected by Rahu, in the same way the mind also, when it is affected by the false ego. So words about that. Let's see that verse. Yeah. Ahangara grahan mukta surupam upavadyade chandravad vyuna purna sadananda swayam prabha. It says that when the ahangara means false ego, which is considered to be like the planet Rahu, and when you are released from the influence of ahangaram, influence of this false ego, it's like the sun when it comes out shining very well after it has been gone through the eclipse. Eclipse, generally we say Rahu is catching hold of the planet, isn't it? So when the Rahu goes away, the sun comes out shining. Similarly, when false ego goes away from us, the soul starts shining in its normal way. Soul is like the sun inside, and the false ego is like the Rahu planet. That's mentioned here. Ahangara grahan mukta. Ahangaram is like a papagraham. Papagraham means a sinful planet. Sinful planet is Rahu. So it is like that. Ahangara grahan mukta swarupam upapadyade. Swarupa means your spiritual nature is covered because of the presence of ahangaram inside. And chandravat vimala purnam, and it becomes vimalam, pure and complete, sadananda swayam prabha. The soul by nature itself is full of bliss and swayam prabha. It is illuminating. The soul's nature is full of bliss and illuminating, full of knowledge, in other words. So, only thing for the soul to manifest in its proper way is to remove this ahangaram from inside. False ego has to go from inside. So that's why it is considered to be this Rahu situation with the sun. For this reason only. And whenever the soul manifests, immediately there is peace inside and purity also. And he will reach that stage only when the false ego disappears. When will the false ego disappear? When the mind has become peaceful. When the mind has become peaceful. When will the mind will become peaceful? That is what it mentions again in this with the relationship with the mind. That the
Bahve niruddhe manasa prasannada manaprasade paramatma darshanam tasmin sudrishte bhavabandha nasho bahir nirodha padavi vimukte.
This is that the situation with the mind. Bahye niruddhe manasa prasannada. When the external world, when we have shut out completely from inside, the mind is cheerful. When will the mind start become activating? When it is dealing with the world outside. That's where the mind will become very lively. Mind becomes very active. So, bahye niruddhe manasa prasannada. Manaprasade paramatma darshanam. When the mind is in peaceful state, automatically the soul's function, soul will show up itself and it will start reacting in its own way. Tasmin sudrishte bhavabandha nasham. And when it is perfectly understood like that, the birth and death situation also is finished. Tasmin sudrishte bhavabandha nasham. Behir nirodham padavi vimukte. That, so first of all, blocking the world getting in is the first step towards liberation. Blocking the world getting in is the first step towards liberation. All acharyas will speak the same thing. Krishna also is saying the same thing. That the minimum is our contact with the world outside. It will help. Now, if you ask me how to do that, you have to do it if you want it. That's the only answer to that. You cannot become spiritual and advance spiritually if you are busy with the whole world all the time. That's not possible. You can't have both, isn't it? So if you become too absorbed in the world outside, all acharyas are saying withdraw, withdraw from the world to make that progress on the spiritual direction. Withdraw from the world. But what happens to us? We find everything is unavoidable and we need everything. And then we get absorbed in everything. And then we say there is no peace inside. So what can you do? If we get too much entangled with everything in this world, instead of minimizing that, Krishna says if you want spiritual life, that is why he's saying like this. If you want, first thing, ragadvesham. Ragadvesham will go if you minimize the dealings with the world, isn't it? If you minimize the dealings with the world, ragadvesham will go. So, at least, if you are not able to do it, at least if this is in the background, inside, we'll be careful while dealing with this world, that you are always conscious that by entangling, I'm only creating more ragam and dvesham with other objects or persons in this world. So, for my own spiritual benefit, I have to do it. There's no alternative to that. For my own spiritual benefit and spiritual realization, I have to follow this route, what Krishna is saying. Ragadvesha vimukta istu. Avoid the ragam and dvesham. But whatever comes in normal life while living in this world, you can't do anything about it. That also Krishna has said that. But what you can do at that point is, first thing, minimize the transactions, vyavaharam in this world. That's number one. Number two, if anything is coming in the normal way in life in this world, there take this attitude, not to develop sticking to it. That's the two things what Krishna has spoken there. So here also is saying here that step by step, how to come to that paramartha darshanam, as it calls as the realization of the truth. So this mind, which is always going external, one first learn how to keep the mind inward looking, then mind will become peaceful. That is the solution to that problem. That the more the mind hovering on the mental plane, or the more the mind is going external, it will become more thoughts will come in, and these thoughts will disturb also. And at that time, Paramatma Darshanam means realization of the truth inside. That's what he's referring to. Now, you're not expecting at that time that you're going to see the Vishnu form with the four-handed form, conchal disc, lotus flower and club and everything. That's not what's going to happen. That what we will realize, Krishna is saying, is that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about that, Aham Atma Gudakesha. You know that verse? Later on in the Bhagavad Gita, it will come. Aham Atma Gudakesha. How that realization will happen will be like this. Krishna says, chapter 10, verse 20. Aham Atmakuda Kesha Sarvabhuda Shavastita Aham Adhyancha Madhyancha Bhudhana Mandamevacha Aham Atmakuda Kesha Sarvabhuda Shavastita Aham Adhyancha Madhyancha Bhudhana Mandamevacha. Krishna is saying there, I am the Self. Krishna is saying there, I am the Self, O Guda Kesha, seated in the hearts of all creatures. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Krishna is saying here, I am the Self. seated in the hearts of all creatures. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. This realization will come. Not that you will see Krishna in the four-handed form. But this realization will happen at that point when the mind becomes peaceful. You see? When the mind becomes peaceful, so chitta prasannam, prasannada inside, or that peace inside is important. It is then that this understanding will come. Ahamalma gudagesha. It's important words. Ahamalma gudagesha sarva bhudashayastida. Aham adhischa madhyamcha bhudanam antamevacha. That I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. What does that mean? I am the beginning, middle. That it's only me who exist. Beginning, middle, and the end. That it's only me who existing. That means I am the soul of all the hearts of all creatures. So here, in this verse also, we have to understand, prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyoba jayate prasanna chedaso hyashu buddhivaryavatishtade. Remember this verse we are talking about, that prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyoba jayate. When chitta prasadam or peace has come to the mind, what will happen is, sarva dukkhanam hani rasyoba jayate. No distress will give you any more a distress. It will not become a distress anymore. Prasanna chedaso hyashu. Inside is become so peaceful within that buddhi vairya avatishtade. In intelligence, we are talking about the spiritual intelligence, spiritual realization will come to him of this verse what we spoke about, ahamatma gudakesha. Will come to him at that person. That, in other words, what he will see inside is that the soul inside, he will realize, he said, it is the same Krishna's presence inside. Krishna's presence inside as the soul will be understood at that time. Today, we don't even understand what soul means, isn't it? We don't even understand what soul means. We are thinking something, something, somewhere it's doing something. Some understanding like that. Not nothing is clearer. So this experience, Krishna is saying, will come at that time. Buddhi vairya avatishtade. In our spiritual consciousness, we will wake up, in other words, that there is a thing called soul, and soul is operating from within. All this realization will happen when prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyo. Krishna is taking step by step. First he said ragadvesham. Remove ragadvesham and operate in this world. What will happen? And for which he told us the two steps. First, as much as possible to withdraw from the world outside. And secondly, whatever we have to do, do it in such a way that it does not stick. Without ragam and dvesham. If you do that, Krishna is saying, atma vashir vidhaya atma. That his mind will be peaceful. Prasadam avigachadi. He will reach that state of prasadam. Prasadam will come to him. Then he says, prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyoba jayade. In that state of prasadam, when he is in, whatever distress is coming to him, it will not have any impact on him. Why? It says here, prasanna chedaso hyashu. His inside has become, chedasa means inside, consciousness has become prasanna. He is full of peacefulness inside. Buddhi vairi avatishtade. And plus in intelligence, this higher understanding of spiritual identity has happened to him. That's what has happened. This ahamatma gudakesha has happened to him. Difficult, isn't it? Because our mind is so used to the mind and intelligence. When we talk about all these subtle topics in the Bhagavad Gita, we find that, oh, it's not possible. It's not possible. We think like that. It is possible. It's just that we haven't tried that. That's why it is not. We feel that it's too far away for us. But all these things are there in the Bhagavad Gita. That prasadam, Krishna is talking about sthita prajnatam. That is how question started, isn't it? Arjuna asked the question, sthita prajnase avasha samadhistase keshava, isn't it? So sthita prajnatam, how does one reach that stage? That's what Krishna is now talking about, isn't it? First he said, you need the vyavasayalmiya buddhi. Then he told us about kurma yogam, how to apply kurma yogam in life. And then he talks about nirahara yogam, not to get to fast the senses from any looking after sense enjoyment. At different stages he said that. And now Krishna is saying, after that, that the the two things I mentioned, that actually the world, what we have to deal with is ragam, dvesham, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam. Four things. That generates what is known as the world outside. There is no other world. The other world, the world we are talking about, like the stone, the wood, and the roads, and the buildings, that is not the world Krishna is talking about. Krishna is talking about the world where there is ragam, dvesham, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam. This is the actual world, what we have to live in. The soul as we are, all this remains as a theoretical knowledge at the moment. That is the problem for us. We are studying theory now. And because it's theoretical and it's not experienced personally, individually, individual level, it all becomes very difficult to comprehend that. So, but theory is important. Without knowing that, you can't do anything about it. So Krishna says, Ragadvesha Muktaistu Vishayan Indriyaischaran Atma Vashir Vithaya Atma Prasadam Abhigacchati. Krishna saying that first, to reach that state of prasadam, you have to come out of ragadvesham. Two things. And then after that he says, Prasade Sarvadukhanam. Once prasadam state has come, it is a state actually, this prasadam. Prasadam is not the prasadam we eat. It is a state of the consciousness, prasadam state. That prasadam means the inside peace is steady, very peaceful state inside. Prasade Sarvadukhanam Hani Rasyoba Jayate. In that state, if any distress comes, it won't affect him. Why is that? Prasanna chedaso hyashu. Inside has become so peaceful that buddhi vairi avatishtade. Already this realization of the soul has started building up inside. Which one? Ahamalma guda kesha sarvabhuda shesthida. That it is Krishna who is present in everyone as the soul has come to him. At that point, sarva bhuda shesthida ahamalma guda kesha, it is Krishna who is present in everyone as the soul. That realization has come to him at that stage, and aham adyanja madyanja bhudana mandyamevacha. So this is an important step in the realization before sthida prajnato state. Remember, we mentioned, in order not to have raga dvesham, there is only one thing you can do: to see Krishna's presence in everything. In order to see Krishna's presence in everything, what Krishna says here, Ahamalma Gudangesha Sarva Bhuda Shyastida. That is that state, to seeing Krishna in everyone presence. So in order to see that, prior to that, Krishna says, Ragadvesham must go from inside. One leads to the other. One leads to the other, in another way. So he says here that the Ragadvesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyaischaran. So, if when we at the moment, just like Krishna is present in all of us, but in us we also have the feeling that we are jiva, isn't it? Jiva ahanda, it's called jiva. Generally, jiva is referred with ahanda. Ahanda means false ego. False ego is a symptom of jiva. Jivatvam is like that. So, just like we had misunderstanding with the rope and the snake. Remember that example in the Bhagavatam, in many places you will see that. Rope was misunderstood as a snake. Similarly, this realization of thinking that I am a jiva, is due to the presence of false ego. Due to the presence of false ego. Once the false ego goes away from inside, that we don't think ourselves anymore as purely a false ego entity. Entity as false ego. Rather, the pure form of the soul will come inside. The pure identity with the soul will happen. So, at the moment, it is this false ego, is the dress that we have put on ourselves. And we are calling ourselves as jiva. And therefore, we have no realization of the soul either. But when this happens, prasanna chedaso hyashu, Krishna says here that the realization will come, buddhivarya vatishtade, that our consciousness will rise to that platform of realization of the soul without any uninterrupted way. Anytime, whenever there is interruptions, it is only due to the vasanas inside. When there is vasanas inside, there will be always interruptions. You'll see that when our attention goes on to Swarupam, remember I mentioned this before, we have Swarupam and we have Swabhavam. Swarupam, we are all same. Nobody is different than the other. So we have to always stay in our Swarupam. And it's a Swabhavam we have to change. Swabhavam we have to change. And when our attention falls on the Swarupam, little by little, this vasanas will continuously get destroyed. If your attention is on the Swarupam. If the attention is on the Swabhavam, vasanas will increase. Vasanas will increase. If the attention is on Swarupam, vasanas will go down. This example is mentioned here that the
Yatha yada avastidam mana tatha tada munchati bahya vasanam nishesha mokshe sadivasananam atmanubhuti pradibandha shunyam.
That is that talk about the vasanas inside. Yatha
yada pratyaka avastidam mana.
When the mind has become freed from the external world and it starts becoming more focused on the soul inside,
tatha tada munchadi bahya vasana.
The bahya vasanas or external vasanas for enjoyment, they will disappear. As long as our attention, when we say mind, the attention, shraddha inside, moves towards the soul, our desire for sense enjoyment and desire for happiness in this world will go away. Desire for happiness will go away. Munchadi bahya vasana. Bahya vasana means vasana has got two different nature. Bahya vasana is to go outside and enjoy. And there is vasana inside relishing it. Whatever enjoyment we are thinking about. Isn't it? Vasanas has got two different nature. Vasana, once it goes out, bahya vasana, it wants to go and enjoy outside. And there is vasana inside to relish something. To relish something. Inside. Simply sitting and thinking about something and feeling happy about it. This is vasanas inside. So this vasana will go out and enjoy. Vasana will stay inside and enjoy. Either way it wants to enjoy. In either situation.
Nishesha mokshe sadi vasananam atmanubhuti pradibandha shunyam.
When all such desires for enjoyment outside or inside is totally eliminated, then the realization of the soul will happen. Only then it will happen. So that's why Krishna gave us the clue how not to get trapped into the world outside by minimizing the dealings with the world. And secondly, whenever there is something comes in a natural way in life, deal with it in such a way that ragadvesham don't happen. If you have done all that, Krishna says, it may look all too difficult. It is difficult. There is no question about that. But that's what the spiritual life is all about. If you thought everything was just simple, that you could take it from off street and use it in 2 days and become self-realized, all these books need not have been written so much in depth. But the fact that when Bhagavad Gita is talking to us from a very subtle plane, all these things are happening, and the process of the jnanis follow is that they understand this and they very clearly see the intricacies of all these things, of the mind, intelligence, ego, everything. And having understood that, they reflect on that a lot. Because constantly reflecting on these things will remove this ignorance from inside. Whereas if you leave it behind saying that, I can't do anything about it, then nothing will happen. What will happen? Nothing can be done about it, isn't it? That's why spiritual life is sometimes hard. It's not that everything is... We are looking for simple solutions to a very complex problem. Problem is very complex, that we have got a material body. And we are suffering through this body day and night, in one way or the other. And we have to accept repeated cycle of birth and death. So if you are conscious of the problem that we have in front of us, we should be willing to make some sacrifice also to come out of this. And then Krishna is saying to us that the process is like this. And because it's subtle, we don't want it. We find it too much. If something is gross, we are easy to willing to accept it. And that is where this difficulty is coming from. So here anyway, Krishna has said like this, that the step by step, one has to come out of this and the vasanas will disappear at that point. And once the vasanas have completely disappeared, the problem is this, that we want to be liberated in the present state as we are. With this body, with this subtle body inside, with this gross body inside, and with all the false ego inside. And Krishna says that's not possible. You have to shed everything one after the other. Gross body is not a problem. It will go on its own, at its own particular time. The other two inside, this false ego inside and the subtle body inside, that won't leave you. So unless we completely burn this in this very body before we leave this body, this subtle body will carry us to the next body. Isn't it? There's nothing we can do about it. This is the law. Krishna's law is like that. That subtle body, as long as you have the subtle body, you will have a problem. That subtle body will take you to another body. Isn't it? So Krishna's point is this, that while being in this gross body, if you little by little reduce the size of this subtle body, instead of allowing that to grow bigger, so that, and to reduce that size of the subtle body, this process is spoken. That means that minimize the activities of the world so that you don't have too much raga dvesham. First step. Second step, nobody can, you see, this, you have to think through these things a little bit deeper. I mentioned this before. Raga dvesham will come once you deal in vyavaharam. There is no question about that, no matter who it is. And if ragadvesham is developing too much, you have to learn when to withdraw from that. That's what most of the people do, isn't it? When you find that something is becoming too much, I can't handle it anymore, you say like that, isn't it? What does that mean? That means it's creating too much turbulence inside, too much frustration or turbulence inside. So, in such a situation, one way is to withdraw from that for some time, till inside that peace you have found, gone back to the center of the soul and found that stability inside, before we jump into it again. Otherwise, if you continue with that, with raga dvesham, you will create a lot of complex situations later. So here, Krishna says that raga dvesham should be brought to the very minimum. And in order to do that, first he said, don't go outside too much looking for this ragadvesham to create, number one. But whatever that humps in the natural way in life, in our life in this world, we have to accept it. But take care not to become sticking to it, not to get stuck with it. When you commit suicide, people, they know very well why they want to commit suicide. The reason is, they have understood this ragadvesham has become too much for them. They can't handle it anymore. And it is at that point they want a relief from that. They want to give up their gross body because they know, and some deep sleep state, they have experienced a happiness without the presence of the gross and subtle bodies. So gross and subtle body is not always pleasant. That gross and subtle body cannot give permanent happiness. Gross body is not a big concern because it will go on its own. But this subtle body inside is our main problem. The subtle body inside is our main problem. And false ego, which is a part of that, will always be there as long as the subtle body is also there. Subtle body is in the form of vasanas inside. Ahankaram is a false ego inside that is making us to execute those vasanas in this world. Ahankaram functions in that way. False ego functions in that way. So both the presence of the false ego and the vasanas inside, they all have to disappear. In that way, the subtle body is totally destroyed. And Krishna says it is at that stage that the nature of the person of the soul will manifest in him. Prasade sarva dukkhanam hanirasyopajayate. At that state, it's called prasadam. Prasadam means the total peaceful state inside. and no sarva dukkhanam hani, no distress will capture him at that time. Why? Because vasanas have gone, ahankaram has gone from inside, false ego has gone from inside. As I mentioned, false ego is nothing but a condensed form of the mind. So hani rasyoba jayate, all the false ego will disappear, and then when false ego disappears, automatically happiness and distress won't disturb anyone in that state. It's only due to false ego inside that you feel this happiness, distress very much. Then Krishna says that Kani Rasyoma Jayade Prasanna Chetaso Hyashu Buddhivari Avatishtade. Prasanna Chetas, that peaceful situation inside Buddhivari Avatishtade, he will experience the soul at that point. That is the state when you understand that you are the soul. Up to that point, it is purely theoretical. Everything is theoretical. So, you can see in spiritual life, the more we develop these thoughts in this direction, it will give us a deeper understanding of things. But if we don't think about all these things, simply read Bhagavad Gita once a year Gita Jayanti day, and leave the book there, what will happen? There is message in the Bhagavad Gita. It's to be taken very, very seriously. And those who have all the great acharyas, when they wrote commentaries and all that, how much thoughts must have gone behind it to bring out those commentaries? They couldn't write it otherwise, because this knowledge, this subtle knowledge, unless they think through that, pages and pages of commentaries they have written on all these verses. And how much deep penetration and deep absorption required to express these subtle points in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is not an ordinary literature just like we think. Just a few millions we have distributed, but how many millions actually read it, and how many millions actually understand it, and how many millions actually follow it through? Very, very rare. Isn't it? Very, very rare. So instead of hovering on the gross side of all these activities, the more we can absorb into the subtle side of the activities, we will get the benefit from Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, Bhagavad Gita will remain as a mystery. Everyone knows Bhagavad Gita is a very mysterious book. A very mysterious book. Why? Because to some extent you can explain it. But ultimately, if you have not experienced it, it's not a reality for you. It remains as a very unknown entity. Isn't it? Bhagavad Gita is like that. That you keep on reading it, and then when you, little by little, you get some understanding of that, some realizations from that. But it has not come to that stage where you can, with full confidence, say, I have understood that, or I have experienced it, in other words. Only at that stage you can say that Bhagavad Gita, I understand now Bhagavad Gita, what it means. When you experience it. Only at that point you can say, I have understood what Bhagavad Gita is saying. Till you don't experience it, you can never say that you have understood Bhagavad Gita. So this is the difficulty with Bhagavad Gita. All Ramanuja's commentary, Madhvacharya's commentary, Shankaracharya's commentary, all these commentaries, if you read through, you will see the deep absorption they had in Bhagavad Gita before they wrote that commentary. And that is why they take their hats off and pay their obeisances to Krishna for producing this amazing literature, Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita comes in Mahabharatam, as you know. But it is kept with Brahma Sutram and Upanishads. That's why it's called Prasthanatrayam. Prasthanatrayam means that Shruti Prasthanam, Nyaya Prasthanam, Smriti Prasthanam. So these three things, Prasthanam, is the fountainhead or the very foundation on which Vedic philosophy is built up. Prasthanatrayam. And in Prasthanatrayam, Upanishads have a big role, Brahma Sutram has a big role. They are both on a very highly intellectual platform. Both, Upanishads and the Brahma Sutram. Only those who have that genuine and serious inquiry nature and total renunciation from this world will find some happiness in studying those literature. For ordinary, mundane level, you won't find any attraction to those literature. But Bhagavad Gita is kept along with those two, with Brahma Sutram and Upanishads. Why? Because of all that knowledge in the Upanishads, Krishna has packed into Bhagavad Gita so beautifully that all acharyas feel tremendous respect, and they all wrote commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. So, difficulty is this, that in our level, when we are trying to capture the message from Bhagavad Gita, often we find that it is difficult, it's difficult. We feel it that way. Isn't it? And then the next thing what we do, we think that, well, all I can do is to just read it once a year and then distribute a few books and then leave it at that. But depth of Bhagavad Gita is much deeper. There's a lot deeper subjects in there. And when you read Ragadvesha Muktaistu, Krishna is asking us to do that. We have to do it. We have to develop that direction, in that direction. So, as we mentioned before, Krishna's talked about this, and this can only, when the vasanas have all disappeared from inside, uninterruptedly, the experience of the soul will happen. So, therefore, first thing he says, Krishna says that the mind going external, that movement must stop. And that is the way to the liberation. Way to liberation. So then we will ask, oh, how can you stop the mind? Then what can I say? I mean, it's difficult to say, isn't it? I mean, if you want something, then you have to pay for it. It's just as simple as that. And the payment is like this, that not to allow the mind to go outside unnecessarily. Then withdrawing from the world outside. Because so many things, we want liberation with this body, with this mind, and with this false ego, everything we want liberation. That's not possible. That Krishna has already spoken that. Body belongs to material nature. Subtle body is not our actual identity. It is something that has come due to the identification with the body. So once a subtle body leaves, gross body leaves, then we can escape from this situation. Escape from this situation. So, there is no alternative except to turn the mind inwards. Except to turn the mind inwards. in order to do that, Krishna gave us the first clue, Kurma Yoga. Isn't it? The first step was Kurma Yoga. Prasanna Chedaso Kurmangani Va Sarvasha. That is what Krishna said. Kurma Yoga. Then he said, Prasanna Chedaso Hyashu Buddhi Bhari Avadishtade. If you do that, Krishna says his knowledge will spread inside. That knowledge will spread inside. Just like flowers, the flavor or the smell from the flower spreads everywhere. Similarly, the soul and this knowledge will spread in every direction. And inside, this experience or realization of the soul will start building up. When one has met or heard about great realized souls, they have this all the time inside. Because they have practiced it and perfected it in their own life. That is why their association we feel or we experience that presence very much like that. Buddhi Paryavatishtade. That is an important word. Buddhi Paryavatishtade. That means inside they are situated on the Swarupam, in their spiritual identity. Spiritual life is not doing a lot of things in this world. We sometimes misunderstand, if I'm doing hundreds and thousands of things in this world, it's spiritual life. No, spiritual life is, first step in the spiritual life is to be identified with the soul and be situated on the spiritual platform, in awe, prior to everything else. And secondly, what Krishna said was, how to change that swabhavam, how Vasudeva Sarvamithi, realizing that everything is Krishna's prasad, Vasudeva Sarvamithi, Samahatma, Sudurlabha. Krishna says, and buddhi, his intelligence, has spread over in such a way that he started experiencing Krishna's presence in other things. Ahamatma Gudagesha state, that has come to him. In Bhagavadam, there is a word used for this, it's called Anvikshiki Buddhi. Anvikshiki Buddhi. That means a buddhi that is looking inwards. It has gone inwards and start looking inwards. There's a lot to know in Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita. That when Krishna is talking about Vaisharadi Buddhi, Anvikshiki Buddhi, and here he says Buddhi Vairi Avatishtare, a buddhi that has woken up from this slumber. Our current buddhi, our current mind, what we have, is not conscious of any of these things. That is where the difficulty. That Anvikshiki Vidya. What is Anvikshiki Vidya? Anvikshiki Ichanam means to see something. Anvikshiki means looking inwards and seeing something. That is the Anvikshiki Vidya. So when Anvikshiki Buddhi happens in a person, he is only thinking about the soul. All his vision is directed towards that particular thing, the soul inside. The soul inside. He is not looking at the things. He is not looking all the time external, the world outside, and completely ignoring that presence of Krishna inside. Aham Atma Gudakesha. So when that is left, Krishna used also the word Vaisharadi Buddhi earlier in the Bhagavadam. So, Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, the three modes of material nature, once it is completely wiped out from inside, then Krishna appears automatically in the heart. And when he appears like that, nowhere else Krishna will appear. If Krishna has to appear anywhere, it has to appear inside. First thing, Krishna has to appear inside. Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada, they are standing in the same place in one room. And Hiranyakashipu is asking, where is Vishnu? Prahlada says, I can't see anything except Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu can't see Vishnu anywhere. And Prahlada is saying, I can't see anything except Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu says, Kasmal stambham na drishyate. In the Bhagavadam, if you look, Krishna's or Hiranyakashipu's words are, why do I not see him in this pillar? So Prahlada is answered at that point that Vishnu, I am seeing Vishnu in the pillar. I am seeing Vishnu in that sword. What you are showing it to me, there is Vishnu in that sword. He says like that. So Hiranyakashipu saying that I can't see Vishnu anywhere. And Prahlada is saying, I am seeing Vishnu everywhere. Why is like that? Because this has happened to Prahlada already. He has started seeing Vishnu inside the heart. It is after that you start seeing Vishnu everywhere else. So remember this. Long ago I spoke about this, that self-realization has to happen first before we start seeing Krishna in everyone. You see? That's why in the process of self-realization, we keep on saying that realize the truth inside first. Once you have realized that, then you will realize everything else, also Krishna's presence. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It is a way Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting to us. How important is. So many places you will see Bhagavatam insisting that He is inside you. He keeps repeating this. But we won't give attention to that. We are still look outside. Where is Krishna? So that important point that Prahlada had this realization. He's seeing Krishna everywhere. First thing, he has realized the truth inside. And he says, I can't see anything except Krishna. When this has gone, so sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, three things inside. Once that's gone away, then it is possible. Once somebody said that it's very difficult to see God in one's own heart. Someone mentioned to that. At that point it was Ramatirtha's reply was like this. It's true, it is difficult, but you cannot see him anywhere else. That was the answer. When he said that it is very difficult to see, this was a philosopher from the West who spoke to Ramatirtha in one of his conversations, you will see. He says to him that it's very difficult to see the Krishna God inside. And Ramatirtha's reply was, that's the only place you can see him. You can't see him elsewhere, because that is how all the sages have told us. That they all realized him inside first. When they realized him inside, they started seeing him elsewhere. There is a difference there, isn't it? Like, if you look into Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam and look into all those great devotees, all their realizations were inside first. Take, for example, Prahlada realized it inside first. Govinda Parirambhida, it says in the Bhagavatam. Dhruva Maharaj, first Krishna appeared inside and then he appeared outside. And same thing with Srinarada Maharshi also. Isn't it? So, many, many instances you will see appear. Krishna is the closest place where you can search for him is our inside, not anywhere else. Outside you can go on inquiring, but you may not find him easily. Like he, because he is present here inside, you see. That's the difference. He's already present there. Only thing is you have to make that contact with him. And that's why Krishna is talking in this way of giving up raga, dvesham and everything. Raga, dvesha, vimuktaistu, vishayan, indriyaischaran. Atma vashir vidheya atma prasadam adhigachadi. First step. Then, prasade sarvadukhanam hani rasyova jayade. Prasanna chedaso hyashu buddhivarya vatishtade. Step by step it's moving towards that truth. Towards that truth. I know it's difficult, all these things to put it into practice in life. But first we have to know it, and then according to one's capacity, one's seriousness, one should use it. That's all I can say about that. According to one's own capacity, one's own seriousness in spiritual life, he can apply these things. We can only talk about what Krishna has spoken. But to applying it in our own life is our problem. That's not Krishna's problem. Krishna always says this, makes it very clear to us that you are not doing me any favor, Krishna says, by taking it seriously. It's for your own benefit, Krishna has told us. It's for us to take it, and to our seriousness and how genuine we are, serious we are in spiritual life, how we want to, how intensely we feel to realize the truth, accordingly we'll take it and apply it and practice it. But understanding Krishna gives to us in this way, in the Bhagavad Gita. So, so the thing is that, so that was another point that, this as well as this, this is an interesting thing. You know, these people won't understand this, that you have to look for Krishna inside the heart. They find it very hard. Once two people are traveling, and one person was carrying a lot of money with him. So somebody else knew this, and he was a thief. He also made friendship with him, and he wanted to travel with him so that he can steal this money. So, when they were traveling, they became friends and they were traveling, and this thief's intention was how to steal the money and leave him. So, they were traveling by train. So, this man knew, who had the cash with him, he knew that he had some motive behind it. That's why he's making all this friendship with him and traveling together. So in the night, when they, you know, in the train journey, long journey in the train, they went to sleep at night. So so the thief, both of them have slept, then the thief wakes up in the night, middle of the night, and he wanted to take the cash and leave the train somewhere when the train stops. That was his plan. So he started searching, where is the cash? Where is the cash? Everywhere he was looking. Where has he kept it? Checked under his pillow, checked in his bags. When he turned in the sleep, when you turned from one side to another, he looked on both sides, he couldn't find. And whole night he searched, he couldn't sleep, he couldn't find the cash. And then he went to sleep, because he was so tired in the morning. The morning they got up, and they were going away after the railway station, they got into the place where they were traveling to, they got down from the train and they were walking. So this thief was very curious to find out where he kept that cash. So he says to this man with the cash that, you know, night time was very dangerous. A lot of people, thieves are there in the train, and so I couldn't sleep last night. Anyway, you have done a good job. Where did you keep your cash? He was wanted to find out. So the man said, I kept the cash under your pillow. Because I knew you won't search there. That's the safest place to keep. Similarly, Krishna is present inside. We won't search there. We'll search everywhere else in the world looking for that Krishna. We won't find him there. So the search has to be where the wealth is kept. There you have to search. The search is wealth is kept inside us. And that is why Krishna is saying all these things to us. That this is why it's called self-realization, isn't it? Realizing the self, what we are. That is the first step. Not that, you know, in many other places they will say that God is somewhere else in heaven or somewhere in another place. You go there after and go and meet him later on. No, that is not the way the Vedanta philosophy is saying. Vedanta is saying to us, he's here right now with you, here inside. Only thing, you have to remove your ignorance and purify yourself that you can experience and realizing him right now, here itself. It doesn't have to be after leaving the body elsewhere. So, when we don't make it in this life, well, what can we do? That's what's allotted to us. We have to accept it that way. But people have made it, and people have gone back with this understanding, left this body, never came back again to accept another body. So, the knowledge that sages are telling us, this is the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavadam, is like this, that it's an opportunity to realize that truth. So, what else is there? And again, to stress the same point, do you know that Hiranyakashipu went looking for Vishnu? Do you remember? When Hiranyakashipu took over the... when Hiranyaksha was killed, Hiranyakashipu wanted to find this Vishnu. And he started looking for him. He went to Vaikuntha also. Hiranyakashipu had access to Vaikuntha. When he went there, he couldn't see Vishnu there. So he came out and said to everybody, I looked for him everywhere, but I can't find him. He says, because he was challenging him, isn't it? He was challenging Vishnu. Come and face me, he said to Vishnu. So, what did Vishnu do at that time? Vishnu says, later on, he didn't say at that time. He says, I knew he will look for me in Vaikuntham. So what I did was, I went and sat inside him. I found the shelter inside him. Therefore, he couldn't find me. And Krishna didn't say at that point, this thing when he was looking. Much, much later, many, many yugas and many manandrams have passed. After many manus have passed, when Krishna came as Vamanamurti, Vamanavatara happened. At that time, this question came up. If you read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vamanamurti openly says there, this is what I have done at that time. That is in the, which canto is that? It's the 8th canto, 19th chapter. I'll just read that verse where Krishna mentions this. Sukadeva Goswami says, when Mahabali spoke to Vamanamurti, isn't it? He came to Narmada River and there this big sacrifice was going on. So Vamanamurti and Mahabali had a conversation. So Vamanamurti spoke to how this situation developed, I am saying this. In what context Krishna spoke about that? That's interesting to know. Vamanamurti took this brahmachari form. He came to beg from Mahabali the 3 feet of land. Isn't it? You know that story. The 8th canto. So when he came there, Mahabali was in with all his opulences, and Vamanamurti said that I am a brahmachari, introduced himself as a brahmachari. And when he saw this brahmachari, very effulgent, very short, 2 or 3 feet high, not more than that, but very effulgent. And the intention was very clear that he wanted to beg from Mahabali the 3 feet of land and through that take away the whole universe from Mahabali and hand it over to Indra back again. That was the idea behind it. So when Vamanamurti came there, Mahabali and his wife Vindhyavali, both of them received him. And Mahabali said to Vamanamurti,
യദ്വദ്വടോ വാഞ്ചസി തൽ പ്രതീക്ഷമേ ത്വമർത്ഥിനം വിപ്രസുധാനു തർക്കയെ ഗാം കാഞ്ചനം ഗുണവദ്ധാമമൃഷ്ടം തഥാ നവേയമുതവാ വിപ്രകന്യാം ഗ്രാമാൻ സമൃദ്ധാൻ തുരകാൻ ഗജാൻ വാ രഥാം തദാർഹത്തമസം പ്രതീക്ഷ.
That when Mahabali asked Vamanamurti, what do you want? He said, I just want 3 feet of land. Mahabali felt insulted. Why is Vamanamurti asking for 3 feet of land? Mahabali says to Vamanamurti, you should know what to ask when you go to see Mahabali. That was Mahabali's reply to Vamanamurti when Vamanamurti asked for 3 feet of land. Because Mahabali is not a small person that you go and ask for 3 feet of land. And then Mahabali makes an offer to Vamanamurti that what do you want? Vado, addressing Vado means Brahmachari.
That Vanjasital Pradithim,
what do you want?
Tom Arthinam,
do you want wealth?
Gam Kanjanam, gold? Gunavadhamam Rishtam Tatham Apeyam Udava Vipra Kanyam Graman Samurdhan Duragan Gajanva Redham Tadarhatama Sampraticha.
That elephants, chariots, gold, villages, well, what do you want? But don't ask for this 3 feet of land. Mahabali's ego inside, ahankaram, false ego, showing to Krishna that too. And that was at that stage. Krishna wanted these words to come out from his mouth. It is through those words Krishna pulled out all the opulences from Mahabali in one lot. Now, in there you will also see Mahabali is asking Krishna, it's a brahmachari now, isn't it? So brahmachari wants a wife, they have to go and ask the king those days. And it's the duty of the king to find a suitable wife for the brahmachari. Mahabali was a very short person. So to find a proper match was probably difficult. That is perhaps why Mahabali asked this question to Vamanamurti. If it is a wife, he says here, Vipra Kanyam, you are looking for a wife, then I can also arrange that for you, a suitable match for you. All that can be done. All this Mahabali spoke. And after that, Sudeva Goswami is saying there in the next chapter that Mahabali's these sweet words Krishna heard and congratulating that, Mahabali's ego, he wanted to up it, to put it up. So what did he do? Vamanamurti started speaking. How did he say? What did he say to him? He told him, I'm not at all surprised that you have made this offer to me. Because you have born in that family, he's talking about Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. It's in that family that Mahabali has come, isn't it? Prahlada was Hiranyakashipu's son. And Prahlada's grandson is Mahabali. So, in such a big family, such a respectful family, you were born. And it's no surprise to me at all that you have spoken like this to me. This was the words from Vamanamurti. Vamana is saying this to Mahabali. And then he also mentioned about Hiranyaksha, your uncle, great uncle. I mean, from the Prahlada's father's brother is Hiranyaksha. When he fought with me, the courage he has shown was amazing, he said. That he punched me on my chest, a few punches he gave, I've not forgotten that. He's saying to Vamanamurti, saying this to a Mahabali. What else do I remember? He says here that you know your Prahlada, your grandfather, and his father Hiranyakashipu, that he has been thinking about me all the time. He's talking about Hiranyakashipu's inquiry about Vishnu. And thinking about me, looking for me. Wherever I go, he was chasing me. Hiranyakashipu was chasing me. And ultimately, he went and looking for me in Vaikuntham as well. And it was then, Tamayandam samalokya shulavanim kridandavad chindayamasa kalatnyo vishnur mayavinam vara yadho yadoham tatraso mrityu pranabhradamiva. Wherever I go, just like death, he was chasing me. At that point, adoham asya hridayam pravekshami paragdrisha. Therefore, I decided to get inside him, to escape from him, because I know he won't look for me inside. This was the logic, what Vamanamurti said to Mahabali, that this is what Hiranyakashipu has done, looking for me. He looked for me everywhere, but he couldn't find me. Why? Because I knew he won't look for me inside. In other words, he's saying, Hiranyakashipu was such a demon that self-realization was not his priority. Was not his priority. He won't look for me inside, therefore I went inside and sat there.
It says, Krishna says, I went inside and sat there. Evam sa nischitya ripo shariram athavado nirviveshe asurendra shvasa anilandarhita sushma deham tal pranarandhrena vivigna chedaha.
Then, I have entered into him inside through his nose, he says. Through his nose I got inside. And the empty, when he went to see me in Vaikuntham, he couldn't find me there. Because when he didn't find me there, he started roaring and coming out and saying that I have searched for him in the earth, in the heavenly planets, in all directions, in the sky, Athalam, Sudalam, different lower planetary systems, and in all the oceans, everywhere I inquired about him, but I can't find him. He says like that. Vamanamurti is saying this to Mahabali. And there Krishna is saying that if I want to escape from someone, I go and sit there first inside. Because you know, he knows that we won't search for him there.
So this is this is an important point that Krishna has mentioned here in the Bhagavatam as well as in Bhagavad Gita, that the search for, and this is the reason why Krishna says Andarmukhatvam is important. Looking inwards is important. Sometime when we are in the spiritual life first time, all these things are a little bit difficult to digest in the beginning. Because at that time, all what we know, I am existing, the world is existing, God is existing somewhere. So we want to worship God. We all talk about worshipping God, isn't it? And that worship process goes on for some time. We follow certain rules and regulations and worship carries on. But after some time, when the mind becomes a little peaceful, an inquiry becomes a little serious, we find to understand the science behind this. There is a science behind self-realization. What you find in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is that science what has been spoken by the sages. Because they are personalities who have practiced this and realized it. Therefore, when they speak, we can understand that there is realization behind it. And they are telling us this is the process to go through. So, often you will see that one who has seen Krishna inside, he can see Krishna elsewhere, always. He won't have any difficulty. And that's why once they start seeing Krishna elsewhere, their dealings also changes. Their dealings also will change with the world. Sometimes we will see some persons, in the Bhagavatam, you remember I mentioned many, many times this. You have to keep this in your mind. Balam unmatta pishachavat. Realize the soul's nature. Balo unmatta pishachavat. Jada unmatta pishachavat. Jadam unmattam pishacha. These are the three qualities with the realized souls. That they will act like as though they are dull-headed, or they are act like they are crazy, or they will act like in a pishacha, like means like a devil. All these are possible with realized souls. So, in the Bhagavatam, if you look Jada Varada, for example, Varad Maharshi, isn't it? Varada Yogeshwara. You can see on his third birth, Bharada, King Bharada, Emperor Bharada has to accept the deer body. From the deer body, he has to accept the Brahmana's body. In that Brahmana's body, he was so dull, deliberately dull, didn't take any interest in studying any Shastram, because already realization is there. What Shastram to study after that? Once you have realized the truth, where is the need for Shastram? Shastram is not required after that, isn't it? Once you have realized the truth, what do you do with the Shastram? Shastram is all for those ignorants like us who has to study and understand, think and practice it. That's a long way to go. But those who have already realized it in the previous life, that Bharata Maharshi has already realized it. So he realized it that this is the way I'm going to deal with this Jadam, dead, dull-headed. Anyone, that's why they were able to pull him into that being a sacrificial goat for the in front of Bhadragali. That thing happened. Rehugana asked him to lift the palanquin. King Rehugana used him to lift the palanquin, to carry him. Then he was taken there for a sacrifice in front of Bhadragali, isn't it? So all these things have happened. Why? Jadam. Completely Jadam. So Sudeva Goswami came to speak to Parikshit Maharaj. And if you read Bhagavatam, how he arrived there, fully naked, walking around, fully accompanied by children. Children were finding it very funny, seeing this man fully naked walking around. A lot of women and children were following him, and he comes and sits there and starts speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit. So this is another state. Then we have Dattatreya Maharshi in the Bhagavatam Ekadasa Skandam, who is completely lying down in a realized state and observing this world and thinking, what do I have to learn from in this world? And that's how he is thinking. Never does any work and completely indifferent to this world. Only accepts what's necessary for his spiritual advancement. So all these things are there. Even looking back many times, you will see this, that the some of these personalities will act in a very strange way. We won't understand them. Ordinary people will think that they are mad. There's also reason, there's no vasanas inside anymore left. Vasana is completely gone away. And plus, this vision of Krishna's presence in other living entities have come. And they will play with our ignorance. Once one sannyasi was moving around, and he was always very busy. Very, very busy. Busy means what? In that realized state, he is wandering around in this world for the body to shed. So sometimes people see him and they offer him something. So somebody offered him a nice shawl to wear. And he wanted the sannyasi to wear that shawl. So what did sannyasi do? He cut the shawl and cut it in many, many pieces. And he hung each piece on a big buffalo and hung it up there. So the person who gave the shawl was very upset. He says, Swamiji, I brought this shawl for you to wear it. He says, as I know, I understand that you have brought it for me, but I know that you wanted everybody to know that you have given the shawl to me, isn't it? So I thought it will be better advertisement if you hung it up like this on the buffalo. So the buffalo will wander around, everybody will see, and I'll tell them everyone that shawl, you have given it, and I've cut that into pieces and put it up. So they will act in very strange way like this. It's quite common with the realized personalities. I mentioned so many instances like this, that sometimes people bring various expensive items for them as a gift to them. And they will not accept it. Why they won't accept it? Reason for that is that they know if you keep anything expensive with you, you can create desires in others' mind, and they don't want to disturb others' mind. For this reason only. You will see this in practical life. When sannyasis travel in expensive luxury cars and all that, ordinary people will say, this is not a bad life. Why not I have it? I'm working day and night, and this person is not doing anything, but he seems to have all everything in life. You can't tell him that is Krishna's mercy that I've got all these things. That answer won't fly there. People will judge based on these things. That's the point. That the intelligent, realized souls will always be very considerate to the others. That's their quality. That they won't accept anything in this world if they know by possessing that, if they are going to cause any disturbance in somebody else's mind. Conditioned soul means agraham, desires are inside. And whether we are in the ashram, in the temple, or at home, in the shopping mall, agraham will come out. It will come out from inside. So when you see that something, if you possess something, and somebody else sees that, it is going to cause a wave of thought inside that person's mind, he's not doing him a favor. His desire is building up. So that's why I mentioned that when somebody brought this sandalwood walking stick, the sage sannyasi told him, it is a nice walking stick, please keep it, and gave it back to him. So he kept on insisting, look, I got it made for you specifically and all that. He says, that's very good, but if I keep it here, what will happen? Somebody will come and they'll see this. And once they see it, the desire will develop inside. So, and many, many people who come to ashrams will have such desires inside. So I don't want to create that desire in somebody else's heart. I may live rather without that, rather than disturbing someone else's mind. So this is the principle in spiritual life, that you don't do things which will, especially from the realized platform. So that is why when they do things like, they will always remain poor and simple. And we have to accept this, that it is the reason for that is that they do not want to disturb somebody else's
mind. So, in one instance, one of them were approached by someone, handed over him a bottle of oil. So he massaged the whole body with the oil and he was walking around with the oil on his body. So, in such a situation, someone asked him, went up to him and said that the buffalo was standing there. On him, he has hung up these pieces of cloth. So, he went up to this realized personality and told him. So, the realized soul looked at him very carefully because he could see that he kept on pushing him about his shawl. So, he asked him, what is this animal standing there? He says, it's a buffalo, he says. So, he says to him, but the buffalo doesn't know that he is a buffalo, does he? He says, buffalo does not know that he is a buffalo. Buffalo is a name we have given to the buffalo. Buffalo, if you ask buffalo, who are you, won't answer you that I am buffalo. He won't say. He has his body and he has his own consciousness. We have given this name and to that particular form of the buffalo. So the Swami says to this person that actually the buffalo is inside you. That's why you are talking like this. Because of his realization that actually it's not a buffalo. It is Krishna's presence inside in that form also. Then, in other words, the name and these forms that is completely captured us at this moment, that in our understanding of the world, we have given importance to the name and the form. Isn't it? That's what is very strongly in us at the moment. That ajnanam or ignorance will go away when we understand that Krishna's presence in other living entity, which will only happen after we have realized Krishna inside. These are the different stages in the self-realization. That first thing is that we have to realize the truth inside. After we have realized Krishna inside, then second next to that is presence of Krishna in other living entities as well. That so therefore the satyam, the truth, is experienced at that stage. Unless first it develops and really realized inside, that in its mature state through yoga sadhana or somehow whichever process one follows, and eventually he realizes the truth inside, that it will come out through the senses, what is known as vijrambhanam. Vijrambhanam means that this experience of the truth, what is inside, will start coming out through the senses and the through the senses in the body. In other words, even when the senses are functioning, everything will be seen in relationship with Krishna. Just like they give the example that through the through what we see, that gold is present in different form of jewelry, isn't it? In the form of chain, in the form of bangles, in the form of anklets, in the form of ring, various forms. But ultimately it's all gold only, isn't it? It's only gold that is present in different forms. Similarly, Krishna is present inside and Krishna is present outside also. But outside, when Krishna is present, we see in different names and different forms. But who is present there is Krishna. In that person's body is present there in that form. That realization, Krishna says, will come to him. In the Upanishads, there is a statement about that. That is why Krishna is saying that that realization is shanti inside. Shanti. Buddhi paryavatishtade. Krishna says, when the buddhi is peaceful, prasannam. Prasannam means that peaceful state comes in. His realization will go and stand inside the heart, centered around the soul. And then this realization will come out through the senses. Realization will come out through the senses. All these things don't happen in one instance. It happens over a progressive period of time. First thing is, as we say, self-realization. And for before self-realization, Krishna is talking about all the various steps through which one can get there. After self-realization, this presence of Krishna in other living entities. So, a long way to travel in that state. So, in the Upanishads,
when everything is experienced as Krishna's presence inside, Tvam Stri, Tvam Puman. In the Shedashvadra Upanishad, there is a statement like that, that the Tvam Stri, Tvam Pumanasi, Tvam Kumara Utava Kumari, Tvam Jirno, Dandena Vamchasi, Tvam Jado Bhavi Vishwado Bhukha. It is a Upanishad, Shedashvadra Upanishad says like this, Tvam Stri, Tvam Pumanasi, you are neither woman nor man. Tvam Kumara Utana Kumari, you are neither Kumara nor Kumari. Tvam Jirno Dandena Vamchasi, the Dandam, that is the Jirnata means when one gets deterioration happens, it doesn't happen to you. Tvam Jado Bhavadi Vishwado Mukha, that you are not even born, you are always existing. I am consciousness, Aham Brahmasmi state. I am Brahman, I am Brahman, I am Brahman. That realization will come to him. So Upanishads are also saying this, that you are the same person, you are also the male, female forms, boy, girl form, old person, everything in every form you are standing in this world in front of me. This is a realized state we are talking about, that you are seeing everyone in the form of boy, girl, man, woman, old person, young person, all these things in different forms, you are standing there. And you are also there, present in front of me, in the form of sky, in the form of earth, and in the form of water, all these things. In the Bhagavadam, if you look, you will see there, Khamvayu Magnim Salilam Mahimcha. If you remember the verses, we discussed this in the Bhagavadam Ekadasha Skandam, when the Navayogis met. Hari Hari Andarisha Prabuddha Pipalayanin Avir Hotra Drumala Chamasa Karabhajanam. The nine sages, they came to discuss with Nami Maharaj, isn't it? So at that point, there's a verse spoken there by it was by spoken by whom? Kamvayu Magnim Salilam Mahincha. Says there that the Kamvayu Magnim Salilam, Kavi Maharshi is saying this. Remember these 12 verses we discussed. Kavi, first one, among the nine, Kavi. Kavi spoke many verses. Manye Kodaschil Bhai Machad. That is how the discussion started. What is Bhagavata Dharmam? Who asked this question? Nimi Maharaj asked this question. What is Bhagavata Dharmam? In answer to that, Kavi Maharshi spoke 12 verses. He spoke about 12 verses, explaining what is Bhagavata Dharma. In that one verse is there, Kam Vayu Magnim Salilam Mahimcha Jodim Shri Satvayam Disho Drumarin Saril Samudramscha Hare Shariram Yal Kinja Budam Pranamed Ananya. That is the verse. What he is saying here? The sky, the air, the fire, the water, the earth, all these planets, and all the living entities, all directions, the trees, the rivers, the oceans, like this, whatever that is there, where Krishna is present in all these places, I will think of them as holy places. And without any other consideration, I'll pay my obeisances to them. We should pay our obeisances to them. That's how it's mentioned here. Kamvayu Magnim Salilam Mahimcha Jodin Satwan Dishodrumadin Saril Samudramscha Hare Shariram Yal Kinjabudam Pranamed Ananya. This is self-realized state. In the realized state, you won't be thinking in terms of one place as holy dham, another place is a karmi place. We won't think like that. At the moment for us, holy dham, Mayapur is important, Vrindavanam is important, or Dwaraka is important. But for a realized soul, for him, everything is important. Everywhere Krishna is present for him. Not only in the early stages, all these differences exist. Isn't it? All these differences exist. And so at that point, we will think in terms of like this. So I have to go to Vrindavan for my spiritual life. I cannot have it here unless I go there. But when the realization happens,
At that point, the thinking changes. Kambayum agnim salilam mahimcha. Jodish satvan disho drumadin. He says, saril samudramcha hare. Even the oceans, when I see, I'll see that as your body. Krishna's body. Hare shariram. What will I do? Yal kinjabudam pranamed ananya. Except, what else can I do except to pay my obeisances to you? When I see the ocean, I'll pay my obeisances seeing that as Krishna. When I see the sky, I pay my obeisances, that's Krishna. And similarly, everything else also. So, self-realization leads to this state. When Bhagavad Dharma was discussed, Krishna was saying, the Kavi Maharshi spoke like this to Nimi Maharaj. That is what we say in the seeing everything like this, and this is interesting. I'll tell you why. When this realization, if you have not realized it, if you have understood, there's some question will come here. On the one hand, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, kill Duryodhana, kill Bhishma, kill Drona, kill everybody, kill all these people, he's saying. And then he's saying to Arjuna, everything is, substance is one. See the problem? If the substance is the same one substance, why is he asking him to kill each one of these people? So, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, this is the beauty of that realization. You will realize everything is one only in that thing that Krishna could tell him to kill them all. See? Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. Yeah? Krishna understood that in that form who is standing there is also Krishna. In the form there, as Drona, Bhishma, Duryodhana and all others standing there, it's only him who is standing there. But it is his decision that they should be killed. So he's saying to Arjuna, kill them all. On the other hand, Krishna is telling them that everything else is me. So this realization is an advanced state for one to understand that. But beginning process is first to realize him inside. The self-realization has to come inside. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see, there is a verse in the 13th chapter. 13th chapter, if you look, you will see. Verse 20. Krishna says there, Prakritim purusham chaiva vidhyanabhi ubhavabhi vikaramscha gunascheiva vidhi prakriti sambhavam. That's the verse. Verse chapter 13, verse 20. Chapter 13, verse 20. Prakritim purusham chaiva vidhyanadi ubhavabhi vikaramscha gunascheiva vidhi prakriti sambhavam. Material nature and the living entity should be understood to be beginningless. Their transformations and the modes of matter are products of material nature. See the point? Krishna is saying there, material nature and living entity should be understood to be beginningless. There is no beginning for them. They are always existing. Material nature is existing and the soul is also existing. Living entity. The soul is also existing all the time. But they have transformed, and that's what we are seeing now. In the transformed state, in different bodies, their transformation and the modes of matter are products of material nature. Products of material nature. So material nature has converted them in different forms and shapes, what we are experiencing. We'll see tomorrow. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.